settle down. It might have been too long of a break.
That was a funny story. I think you should tell that story on the air. It was so good.
You do realize that, wait, are we on?
Yeah. Yeah.
If you don't tell it this morning, I'm going to tell it on K-Fire this afternoon. And, you know, a big portion of the audience is going to be well aware of it. So you might as well tell it now.
Hey, we're brought to you by our friends at Action Movers. That's aactionmovers.com. Two A's in action. aactionmovers.com. Of course, anywhere you're moving, anywhere across the country, across town, whatever you got going on, moving residential, moving your office, employee relocation services for businesses, storage services as well, and tons of moving tips servicing North Dakota, South Dakota, and Nevada, Colorado, and Arizona as well, Phoenix, Denver, Las Vegas, across the country at aactionmovers.com. What's on your mind? And Scott is off today, and Leon Francis is here. I don't know if you want to tell that, though. It's up to you.
800-228-0550. Moving on. No. Well, you know, it's not that unheard of, you know, in the age of COVID, you know, because people aren't going out, so we don't have to shower as much. So, yes, I have used a fabric softener sheet to, you know, spruce myself up before going out. Don't act like guys haven't been doing that since the beginning of,
I will say, I occasionally pulled one out of my sleeve because I didn't realize it was in there when I got dressed, and like, what the heck? Oh, gee, it was a dryer sheet. But I don't think I've ever, by design, brought one to work so I could bathe.
Not a bathe, a sprucing up of sorts. Anyway.
In lieu of a bathe.
In lieu of a bath or a shower. Anyway. Everything is crazy.
We now know
anyway.
More about Leon than we ever thought we would.
Oh, get some of that Buffalo Trace in me and you'll find out a little bit more. But we're going to. I'm going to.
Next time you're on, let's do that.
I'm going to digress.
Truth serum. We love it.
800-228-0550. I'm not sure Kevin wants to even, you know, follow this up, man.
You're good.
I'm talking about Kevin Cramer.
Kevin Cramer. Well, that's another Kevin.
I mean,
Senator
Kevin Cramer, you know, a guy with at least some morals and standards, and he hops into this conversation, you know.
What am I doing on the show then? I don't belong here.
Right now, I'm thinking this show is about to go downhill fast because I don't know if it gets more entertaining than this. We're not here to entertain. Yeah, we're not here to entertain.
Welcome to the show. Again, I give you kudos for coming in here and taking the questions. And, you know, we don't have a lot of folks that purport to represent us that do that, actually come back and talk to us. Hey, you know, what's going on? What are you doing? What are you seeing? That sort of thing.
You know, there's one thing he needs to say to start it off officially.
Okay,
here.
Everybody get yourself some popcorn and pop. I'm about to entertain you.
I love that.
I start my show with that every day. I can't help it. Sorry, Senator, but I've got it.
That was a moment.
So how are you?
Well, I'm pretty good, thank you very much. I'm in North Dakota, so that's always better. Although usually on Fridays I won't be next Friday, but most Fridays I'm in North Dakota. But this was what they call a state work week, so I've been in Bismarck most of the week and taking meetings and doing media and, you know, catching up on things here in the state. It's all been good, and getting ready to go back to Washington on Monday morning.
Oh yeah, are they going to make Washington a state? Do you think?
Great question. Actually, it's a really important question. So, as you know, the left would like to do that, and the House of Representatives is. I think they've already passed the bill, in fact, to make the District of Columbia a state, and it could pass in the Senate if they could get 50 Democratic senators, which just happens to be the number of senators who are Democrats, and they get all 50 of them to, first of all, agree to change the rules, which would be to eliminate the filibuster and allow simple passage with a simple majority of 50 senators and, of course, Kamala Harris casting the deciding vote. So if they could change the rules to eliminate that filibuster, they could then do it with a 50-vote margin. The good news so far is that Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia, Democrat, of course, Senator Kyrsten Sinema, Democrat from Arizona, have both stated emphatically that they oppose changing the rules, that the 60-vote margin is what makes the Senate the Senate, and not just a smaller version of the house. It's what creates the more deliberative body. And so to this point, they've opposed changing those rules. Everything's a transaction in Washington, Leon, so who knows? But
right.
Joe's been quite emphatic. He actually wrote an op-ed, and I think, and good for him, because I think one of the things we do when you're feeling a lot of pressure from a constituency group, and in this case, the Democratic leadership, or maybe some other stakeholder group, and they think that your strong position means it's 50-50, or you're still considering it, is you put something in writing and you publish it, and that helps everybody sort of back off and he locks you in. So I'm still hopeful that that won't happen, but just so in case there's anybody listening to this show, and I doubt there is, who doesn't understand the ramifications of statehood for the District of Columbia, it would mean that there'd be two Democratic senators forever. I mean, I think Donald Trump got something like 4% of the vote in Washington. Washington is built for the government, and the government's built for Washington, and that's why our founders were wise enough to create a non-state situation. And put the capital in, not in one of the states. And so, you know, having two more Democrats for perpetuity would be a pretty big challenge for Republicans going forward.
Yeah, and I agree. Our founders were brilliant in that. They wanted neutral ground because you guys are supposed to go there, do the people's work, and then go home. It's not supposed to be a state, you know. But with the Democrats, you know, up is down, right is wrong, water is dry, and
Kevin does. And I'm kind of ignorant on this topic. I mean, does that mean residents of D.C. can't vote or don't vote in federal elections? Or I mean, what's holding them back, or where are they at?
Yeah, great question. So good. That's an interesting point, Kevin, because the District of Columbia is unique in this sense. So it's not a state, but they do not have members of Congress. They do have a representative in the House. She's called a delegate, and it's just one. And she, you know, does a lot of things in the House. Obviously, caucuses is a Democrat. Actually, I believe can even introduce legislation, but can't vote on it. Participates in hearings, all of those things, but does not have a vote now. So they don't have a senator. They don't have a regular House member. But they do vote in presidential elections. They do have three electoral votes, by the way. So they do have a vote in the presidential elections. They run their own city, as you know. They have a mayor, Mayor Bowser, one of the worst mayors in America. And but nonetheless, she's duly elected by the people of Washington D.C. They have a city government. They have zoning laws and all of that stuff. But remembering, of course, that the vast majority of the property, the real estate, if you will, are government buildings, and the vast majority of people there are government employees, or they support government employees. And then there's a pretty large retail sector, and obviously hospitality sector, because a lot of people visit Washington, D.C. for business and pleasure and vacation there. But so it's obviously a unique model. Now, Congress has a fair bit to say about how Washington, D.C., you know, how they're funded and things like that. They don't have a vote on taxation. So we provide a lot of the oversight that way. But I think it works. It's the way it's supposed to be. It's a very liberal town, obviously. But nonetheless, it's neutral ground, as you say. And it's important that it's neutral ground. Unless, if they really want to do something profound for the country and for the government, they'd move the United States Capitol to, say, Lincoln, Nebraska or something. Or somewhere in the middle of the country that was more central. But at that time, Washington was pretty central.
Yeah.
And now, of course, we have a much larger country, and people forget in Washington and New York and California that there is a middle of the country, and to the degree there is one, they don't like us very much. And so, anyway.
Yeah. Sad but true.
To satisfy that, as the conversation at this side going, well, maybe we make D.C. part of Maryland or Virginia or whatever, kind of, you know, incorporated into one of the states around it.
Yeah. Yep, there is talk of that, and remembering that both Maryland and Virginia donated land to create the District of Columbia.
Yeah.
So that is one of the discussions, is that, okay, if you want it so badly to be a state, you want D.C. to be a state, let's make it a city in Maryland. And that would give them a couple of members of the House of Representatives. Probably Maryland would gain a couple of House seats, because Washington, I forget the population of Washington, but it's over a million. And but they wouldn't get two new senators. They would have the two senators that they already have from Maryland, and they just both happen to be Democrats. but they wouldn't be two new ones. Besides, 50 stars makes sense, doesn't it, guys? Doesn't 50
on Rice, a, even you know, number. Yeah, nice round, even number.
It's worked so far.
I'm going to go out to Matt because he's been holding for like 20 minutes.
Sure.
After the break, anyway. We're on Town Hall, Senator Kevin Cramer, talking a little common sense to the masses. So, and Matt, right out of the break, we're going to go right out to you. So this is What's On Your Mind with Senator Kevin Cramer and Leon Francis. We'll be right back.
Jeff and Buxton, you're on deck. So stand by. Number to call, 800-228-0550. This is What's On Your Mind. To What's On Your Mind, brought to you by our friends at PetroServe USA, helping America fuel better. This is where we make you hungry. It's Friday up in Yulin, Minnesota. Meatballs and Ufta tacos, my man. You're making some Ufta tacos. We're on our way. Glenn's got stuffed peppers today in Minnesota on the North Dakota side, 205 NP Avenue in Fargo, Chef's Choice. 12th Avenue North's got that fantastic taco salad they make. West Main Avenue, West Fargo, chicken tenders on the special, two sloppy joes and chips in Harwood. And off exit 292 off I-94 in Valley City. Pulled pork with gravy or chicken fettuccine. The fabulous chicken fettuccine they have.
You know, any loose meat sandwich that I eat is sloppy. So,
there you go.
You know, very good.
Helping America fuel better. It's PetroServe USA.
Leon Francis, sounds like a sandwich. Sloppy Leon.
Yeah. It does, yeah.
I need a bib most of the time. Yep. Anyway, I'm on with Senator Kevin Cramer. He's Radio Town Hall. He's taking phone calls and answering your questions, which I think is great. I think it's awesome. I think the last time you were on, we didn't have time to get to a certain question, and I think you wanted to address it now.
Yeah, I did. Actually, what happened is, I think it was after the show, somebody either texted or called in a question. It was really important, and I wanted to get to it today because it's timely. The question basically, and I'm going to paraphrase, Leon, but the question was, the person had been hearing that the number of banks were turning down farmers and farm loans for farmers that had fewer than 1,500 acres because basically it wasn't worth it to them. And that, you know, you hear things like that, you hear rumors like that, they usually have a legitimate genesis someplace. I don't know where this one came from necessarily, but my team and I met with a number of bankers here just this week here in Bismarck, have been running the traps on this and have found nobody, basically, that any banker or any lender that has that opinion or has said that. What I would say, though, I think, in my meeting with the independent community bankers the other day, they made it, not only did they make the point that that's not true, but several of them told me about the portfolios that they have of bankers that are 1,500 acres or less. And in fact, in a couple of cases said, this is our sweet spot. This is what we like to do. This is exactly the type of business we like to support. So, it could be that, maybe some real large banks may have, if not an official policy, maybe they have a general policy. I don't know. Sometimes Farm Credit Services sort of leans big but even at that, we've not found anybody that's been their policy or that's been their position. And quite honestly, and appropriately, just quite the opposite we've heard. So, rest assured, the size of your farm is not a problem.
There you go. Matt out in Walcott, what's your question for Senator Cramer?
Hey, Kevin, thanks so much for coming back home and talking to us, and thanks for fighting for us in D.C.
Thanks, Matt. I love Walcott.
Yep. So the thing that I wanted to say, I guess, is, you know, if we don't want our state to become like D.C., we've got some work to do here at home, right? Like, we can't just be on cruise control. And so I wanted to add, actually, to some of what I heard the last hour. And then, as someone who has been wildly successful and good for the people of North Dakota by kind of driving outside of the Republican Party a little bit to get there, I was kind of curious to hear your feedback on kind of what you've been hearing this morning. You know, so my perspective is that, you know, the conservatives in this country are angry because they're not getting the government they voted for. Like, you see it at the national level, but you also see it even more clearly in our own state. Our state has had a so-called Republican supermajority for over a decade, and in our state, good legislation is being voted down, and bad legislation is being introduced and getting signed. And so what conclusion should people actually draw from this? Twice in a row, the people of our state voted to drain the swamp overwhelmingly. And when you see the rule-breaking and the dishonesty by some of our current officials right here in our own state, it's clear that here in North Dakota, we have some swamp creatures of our own to take care of. That's what's causing this groundswell of patriots to show up and get involved. And every listener here, I think, agrees with me. We want a better-run state, a better future for our kids, and we want leaders who are actually accountable servants of the people of North Dakota.
So, Matt, first of all, great little, that was a great little admonition. That was really well done and well said. So with regard to the state, one of the things I like to remind people, I was a Republican Party chairman, the state party chairman, and I was already going outside of the bounds a little bit of the party even back then. But it was, interestingly, when I ran for, or when I became chairman, for example, I appointed co-chairs of the resolutions committee, and one was pro-life and one was pro-choice. And I'm very pro-life. But what I knew at that time, and of course, we had nothing. I mean, we had one chamber of the legislature as Republicans. We had three state offices and two public service commissioners and an auditor. Otherwise, we hadn't had the governorship. You know, we only had four out of the previous 32 years. So we were way on the outside then. And I knew back then that the only way to build a majority is by addition. Now, here we have these supermajorities, as Matt points out. We've had the governorship every year since Ed Schaefer won and when I was chairman. And now I'm the first Republican in my lifetime to have this Senate seat, but it was the last seat held by a Democrat, the last statewide seat held by a Democrat. So we've come a long way as a party. I think some of what comes with that is that we no longer have another party to fight with, so we tend to fight with ourselves a little bit. And it's interesting, Matt, just being home this last week and meeting with different people that have different causes. In one case earlier this week, I met with a group of conservative women who were concerned about mask mandates, and more importantly, they were concerned about the privacy surrounding the vaccine, and they were grateful that I took a position with the Fargo Forum and the national media that my vaccination status is none of your damn business, you know. And so, it's not that I'm not an open book. I tend to be an open book, but I think, you know, I think medical, for example, status is pretty private, right? So even though I'm not a very private person, and so on behalf of people who want that, that's my position. My point being that these people that I met with, they're not necessarily pro-Trump, but they're pro this one thing. My point being that the aggregation of various conservative factions creates a supermajority. But among those factions is a lot of diversity. And a little bit of that is the result, I think, of our success as a party, but not necessarily as a, quote, movement. So I go back to the Tea Party movement. Today's populism movement that's sort of Trump-oriented is not the same as the Tea Party. And the Tea Party is not the same as the Republican Party. And the pro-life movement versus pro-choice, all these other things. I think the fear, Matt, is articulate as your statement was, that the concern would be, let's not fractionize so much that we become a minority party again. However, your activism does matter. And that's why, and I didn't listen to the previous segment, I had a meeting, but this is why within the Republican Party today you see these challenges taking place for legislative seats, for legislative districts, and by the way, that's where the battle should be fought. Is at that level, the precinct caucus level, and I could give a long history, and I won't bore you with it, about how many precincts we used to have in this state. But activism is not natural for conservatives. We don't want to be activism. We want to be left alone. But sometimes being on defense requires activism, right? And so I think it's a rich part of being the supermajority. That said, how do you then instill that discipline when you get to the statewide office holders and whatnot? I actually think our legislature's worked pretty well. There have been some vetoes. Some of them have been overridden. Some of them have been upheld.
Great point, Kevin. Kevin, that music means we're right up against the break. 800-228-0550. We'll be right back with Senator Kevin Cramer on What's On Your Mind right after this break.
Welcome back to What's On Your Mind, brought to you by our friends at Action Movers. It's a little different on the spelling. It's an extra A in action. AActionMovers.com. And I'll tell you right now, think about this. You got a move coming up? How about this? Lowest advertised rate in 20 years, $99 an hour for two men and a truck when you mention Scott, as in Hennett. Not only the lowest local move rate, but the best movers in the state as well. Professionally trained, background checked. AActionMovers.com. North Dakota's best moving company since 1932. Family owned and veteran owned as well. Call 701-566-5532. And mention Scott. Take advantage of that offer. $99 an hour, two guys in a truck. We're moving. Now we're moving. I don't have to lift or do any of that. I always said, you know, guys, you know who your friends are on moving day and dock day. That's who you know who your friends are. That's all I'm saying.
Or chop a,
that's right.
Yeah. Or chop a tree down.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, anyway. Oh, I love it.
So, back on with Senator Kevin Cramer, 800-228-0550. We have him for another, what, maybe 30 minutes. So if you want your question, get it in quick. We got a full board here. We're going to go out to Jeff in Buxton.
Actually, I think we got, do we have Ron Ness on the phone? I think we do. We've got Ron. And Ron, of course, North Dakota Petroleum Council, giving the final update. Next week is that Williston Basin Petroleum conference that's going on. Ron, are you there?
I am here, guys.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. We are in the final preparations here for the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference next week. And, Senator, it appears that North Dakotans and people across the country are eager to get out and engage and get back to business. We're going to surpass 2,100 registrants today, and we've got a few more days to go. So I expect we're going to be in that 2,300 to 2,500 attendees. I know the hotels, restaurants, bars, City of Bismarck, Mandan are ready and eager to have these people come here, spend money, and we have just got an unbelievable lineup. And Senator, I thought we should maybe talk a little bit about Secretary Pompeo. I've actually got a call with him later on today to talk about his visit, and it just seems like he's the real deal from a North Dakota conservative standpoint. We're proud to have him here, and his message is going to be great. And I know, I believe that you're introducing him in your video since you can't be here in person.
So, Ron, I already shot the video, and all I want to do is confirm with you, is it true that congressional delegation videos are the correspond with the bathroom breaks? Because that's what I was heard. But in my video, I do introduce Mike Pompeo, who was a good friend of mine. Mike and I served together in the House. I sat right by him on the dais of the Energy and Commerce Committee that we served on together. And of course, he's got a background in the industry. He's been an executive in an oil and gas company as well as some other industries. He served, I think, four terms as a congressman from District 4 in Kansas before the President Trump made him the head of the CIA. And then after that, after a year of doing that job spectacularly, he made him Secretary of State. And here's the thing I would tell you about Mike Pompeo. He's Midwestern, so he's super bright, you know, West Point grad, Harvard Law School graduate, I think head of his class, in fact. But he's still a Midwesterner at heart and applies his common sense to that giant brain of his. And he understands the importance of soft power. He understands military. He was a captain in the Army. He gets all of the leverage that the United States has as an America first global leader. And I can't think of a better person to keynote your conference than Mike Pompeo.
Well, thanks for that and for helping with. And he's going to give some comments, and he's going to have a chat with Kathleen Nesbitt afterwards. So you get to introduce him. He does a little talk, and he does a little Q&A with Kathy. And I just can't think of anything, like you said, more intriguing not only to our crowd, which is obviously full of conservatives and people who want to support the energy industry across North Dakota and this country. And I know that he's going to talk a lot about what he saw on the world stage in terms of how important our energy dominance became across this country. And, Senator, you've been a great champion of that. And just for the listeners, I believe Scott and I are working on a live interview with Secretary Pompeo prior to him speaking next Thursday morning on this show. And then Beck TV will be replaying his speech in the evenings on many of our keynote speeches on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, including Kelsey Warren, Harold Hamm, and another session about the energy of the future on Tuesday.
Good deal.
Well, I'm going to see Mike at the end of next week, so we're going to be together at an event out in Virginia, I think it is, late next week. So I'll get the lowdown from him as to how everything went. It'll be fun.
Ron, North Dakota.
Where do you put him in the hunt for the next nomination, Senator?
Oh, there's a good question.
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me just tell you from a personal standpoint, I would put him very near the top. He's certainly among the most qualified, brightest, capable, and frankly strong Trump credentials, which is going to be really important, I think, for our primary voters. So I'd put him really near the top, Ron, in terms of and it's going to be a big group, obviously, but I'd put him near the top of the contenders for president if that's what he chooses to do.
We should mention, too, if you go to ndoil.org, you can find out more on the Williston Basin Petroleum Conference going on 11th, 12th, 13th, next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, in Bismarck, and all online info at ndoil.org. Ron, good to talk to you again, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Scott will be there live all 3 days, and Energy Matters as well, so we're going to have a lot of opportunity to update, and just an unbelievable lineup of speakers and a good show. So people should come out. It's for everybody, not just for the oil and gas folks.
All right. Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Sounds like a neat little party.
You bet.
I might have to, gas up the truck and get out there, right?
There you go.
Do we have enough time to get Jeff
in? Let's get some calls in. You bet.
Okay. Hey, Jeff, out in Buxton, what's on your mind?
Hi, Fred from Wing called in the other day and mentioned the dandelions on the White House lawn. The reason there's no dandelions in North Korea is because they're edible. With the direction the country's going, maybe everyone should consider having dandelions growing on their lawns.
I'll never go hungry in the summertime.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, with all of the stuff in the media going on with racism and the crisis at the border and stuff, I guess it seems like smoke and mirrors to me. I was just curious if Kevin Cramer has any ideas on what's going on behind the scenes that maybe people don't know about. Anytime there's so much stuff being blasted at people like that in the news and stuff, I always worry about the stuff that's not being covered, like maybe stuff going on in the Middle East or something like that.
Very good point.
Hidden agendas, yes.
Yep.
Exactly. So, this is really an interesting point, and this is really a communication media issue. Thanks for the question, because I'm not a natural conspiracy theorist, guys, but I do worry about some things being so overblown as to become a distraction to other important things. But with regard to whether it's racism or the issues at the border or any number of other things, climate, over-dramatizing things, not only does it create a distraction to other important things, but it also diminishes the very issue you're talking about, because it's becomes unserious. And anytime you overblow or over-dramatize, for example, calling America a systemic racist country is a blatant lie. It's an exaggeration. And all it does is drives wedges between people. It doesn't solve anything. So if there's a small problem with certain institutions, or we certainly can always be better, blowing it up into an overdramatic fashion, all it does is drives the wedge deeper and creates more conflict, not less, and that just makes the problem worse, and that's what concerns me.
Yeah, that's well put. I'm going to go to Paul. Paul on the road has a question for Kevin Cramer.
Hey, question for you. About 20 years ago, late stock, we had dropped as low as it's getting now, close, not that low, but have you guys been watching that to see how the core runs it, being we're in a severe drought through Montana and North Dakota?
Yeah, so very closely, Paul. Thanks for the question. We watch it very closely. We monitor every week. I have one staff person who's really quite an expert in this, who monitors the lake levels and the runoff levels out in the mountains. We stay in touch with the core leadership on a regular basis. I think oftentimes one of the challenges you see is not so much about core management, and don't get me wrong, it's not that I give them a break, because I don't oftentimes, but I also defend them when they deserve it. Usually, whether it's too much water or being released or not enough water being released from a perspective, depending on where you live in that whole system. It's usually a function of how much water there is in the system. And one of the challenges we have right now is there's just not a lot of water in the system. Now, that said, I don't think it's any big surprise to anybody that downstream states, particularly Missouri, and when you get to into the Mississippi, they tend to have a bit more legal standing or clout or whatever you might call it with the Corps. And so we always have to be flexing our muscles. We always have to be holding them to account. I think the biggest problem we have right now, Paul talked about drought. One of the biggest problems we have is that there's a drought, and that is to say there's not a lot of water in the system. And it wasn't like a real big winter in the mountains either, so there's not as much runoff. I think it's probably close to average, maybe a little below average for the winter. So it's going to be a tougher year. I don't think there's any question this year there's not going to be as much water as we'd like in the system. But we also have to remember that the Missouri River is ours. State by state, the Missouri River is ours, and the Missouri River is not going to go dry. And to the degree that we want more water for irrigation or municipal systems or industrial use in the east, and we're working on a couple of pretty big projects, as you know, we're going to have to focus more on the actual river and less perhaps on the reservoir as we build out infrastructure that would help deliver some of those resources. But those are real big natural resource issues that we keep very close track of.
Thanks for the question, Paul. Ryan, out in Fargo, what's on your mind this morning? You got a question for Senator Kramer?
I do. You know, we see all the hate crimes getting passed of everything, and when are they going to... I'd like to see hate crimes introduced against cops anytime anybody's assaulting cops, for one thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Some of the things, I don't know how much thought has gone into... You know, and they talk about all the electric vehicles and these substations that are going to be everywhere. I've heard, like, it's going to take, like, huge transformers. Just think when 100 cars pull in there, everybody needs electricity.
Hey, Ryan, let's get to that question on the other side of this break. That music means we're right up against it. So this is Senator Kevin Kramer, Radio Town Hall, with Leon Francis as your host, right here on AM 1100. We'll be right back right after this break.
What's on your mind? Powered by Schwann Buick GMC. When you buy a new or used vehicle from Schwann Buick GMC, their lifetime powertrain warranty sets them apart from other dealerships. Lifetime means lifetime. And free means free, doesn't cost you a dime. Plus, of course, it's on not only all new Buicks, new GMCs, but late model used cars as well. So if you're an F-150 fanboy or a Ram fanboy, they can hook you up. SchwannBuickGMC.com.
And we're also brought to you by our friend Mike Lindell and the crew at MyPillow. So I have a MyPillow Premium. I did order the sheets. I paid for those because I thought love them. We got, thank you, Mike, by the way, we got some slippers. You know the Uggs, the people who make Uggs make the slippers for MyPillow now?
Oh.
My slippers? They are fantastic.
Mine are too tight.
Oh, they're gorgeous. Mine are perfect.
Okay.
Yeah, I ordered the right size. You got to get the right size.
Really doing my hand knows, right?
But I got to tell you, I finally pulled the trigger on this 6-piece on the MyPillow towel sets, and he's right. They're different.
Yeah.
They're not like waxy, and they're different. They're plush. I mean, they're awesome.
Moisture wicking.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah.
And whether you're looking for pet bed or any of the standard products, tons of stuff. Of course, Mike's book on the website as well. There's my sleepwear. There's throw blankets. There's, of course, mattress toppers as well. Go to MyPillow.com or give them a call. The number is 800-544-8939. 800-544-8939. Go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code SCOTT. Our radio listener specials right on the homepage there. 30% off at MyPillow.com.
Mike is a patriot, man. We got to support him every way we can. Bet. That guy. Anyway, we're going to go out to Ryan. We're on right now.
I want to answer that last question.
Go ahead.
Sure.
Before the break, yeah, right. He asking about making it a hate crime to go after cops. We actually have a bill that Tom Tillis from North Carolina introduced that I'm a co-sponsor of. That it's called the Protect and Serve Act. It's legislation that creates federal penalties if you go after a local, state, or federal law enforcement officer with violence. So it really, well, first of all, sends a strong message to our officers, which I think is really important these days. But it makes it a federal crime if you knowingly cause or even attempt to cause serious injury to an officer, including, like I said, local, state, as well as federal. And it makes offenders subject to imprisonment for up to 10 years. So why do we create an extra category just for that? Well, because it's become such a huge crime. It's become prevalent, and our police officers are feeling pretty unprotected themselves these days at a local level in some cases and state level in some cases, certainly at the federal level. So we felt we needed to do that. With regard to on the energy side, the caller makes a whole bunch of relevant points about this Green New Deal movement of the left, where they have no consideration of the lack of lots of things to do to accomplish things they want to accomplish, not the least of which is appropriate resiliency in our grid system, the appropriate materials and manufacturing capacity to build out the type of infrastructure that would be necessary, just the lack of economic common sense altogether, the fact that it doesn't even really solve the climate issues that they want to accomplish, for the most part, just transfers them to other countries that produce energy at a much, much less safe, less efficient, and less environmentally friendly way. So anyway, great call and lots of good points.
Well, what do you expect from legislation crafted by AOC? One. Two, I think that we absolutely need protection for our law enforcement. You know who the community that is hurt most when law enforcement don't feel protected, when they pull out? It's the African-American community. It's the minority communities that need our law enforcement in those communities to keep us safe. So the narrative that's been being trotted out there is 100% false. You want to see African-American communities quickly descend into chaos, deadly chaos, pull all the cops out. And when police officers don't feel safe, that's what you're going to get. It's why you see the uptick in violent crime. But I'm going to digress. Ryan has a question for Senator Kramer.
Am I still on?
Yeah, go ahead, Ryan.
You are.
One of the other things is that you need to start making financing these protests, Black Lives Matter and this, pay for damages and any injuries to people, all that kind of stuff. You need to pass those kind of laws. Soros and these people, they come funded, that they've got to pay for damages to buildings, to people. All that stuff, blocking roads, everything that they come to do, you got to make the penalties severe. I mean, where they're going to have repercussions.
Did DeSantis do that in Florida, Kevin?
I think so.
So you could do it state by state. I think he makes a good point. There are some federal laws, actually would pass some of that liability along. One of the challenges is, of course, proving it. And that's proven to be a little bit difficult in some situations because these are pretty clever organizations that launder, if you will, through a long process of funding.
Right.
But absolutely, somebody needs to get hit really, really hard for their role in the supply chain that ultimately leads to these kinds of damages and loss of life as well as property. Especially, really on the property side, you could rack up some pretty big bills. Not that George Soros couldn't afford to pay them, but he might want to think about doing something better with his money.
Right. Dave and Rolla, you got 30 seconds. We got to wrap it up quick. Penalties for law enforcement. Go ahead.
Yes, you have enhanced penalties for people who attack officers. Why not enhance penalties for officers and elected officials who break the law?
Good question.
Okay, good question. Maybe we get to it later. Kevin, always great to have you on. Guys, have a great weekend. And if you're in North Fargo, remember, District 44...